So glad to be here with you all this morning. Appreciate the scripture reading. And I would like to concentrate. I'd like to look at the very last verse of what Gavin read for us this morning. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." I remember the first time I read that, and I thought, that pretty much sums up the attitude that child of God should have. And brethren, we need to develop that same attitude that Isaiah had. When there is work to be done, we need to step forward and say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." That same enthusiasm is what we see in the little child. Those of you who are parents know when you're trying to accomplish a task, trying to get something done, and your little one comes up and says, "Dad, Mom, let me do that." Or, "Let me try, Dad." Do you think that might have been part of the meaning when Jesus said in Mark 10:15, "Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter into it." And he took them up in his arms, he laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. Now, folks, I'm not trying to speak for God. But you know, that enthusiasm is a big part of being a child. And if being acceptable to God means I have to have that same enthusiasm that a child has, then so be it. Let me add it. We need to develop the kind of attitude the prophet had when there is work to be done. Let each one of us try to be the first one to step forward and say, "I can do that," or, "I'll give it a try. I've never done that before, but if you show me what I need to do, I'll do the best I can." So don't hold back and wait for someone else to do it. I don't believe there's any example in the Bible that tells us to do that. In John chapter 9 at verse 4, Jesus said, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work." In John 17, 4, "I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." 2 Corinthians 9:8, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." Galatians 6:4, "Let each one examine his own work." Notice the word "work" there. "Then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, not in another. Each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches." Ephesians 4:12. "For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting, but speaking truth and love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Colossians 1:10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. I believe there's a spiritual lesson also for us in Revelation 12 or 22, verse 12. Jesus said, behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And finally, James 1:25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. You see, the biblical principle is that we work. You will not find a single passage in the scripture where we're commanded, where laziness is commanded. So what we're saying then, when you see one of our brothers or sisters who's normally here at assembly, not with us, don't say someone should call them. Don't say Heath will call them. He's good at that. And not that Heath minds doing that, but that's not exactly doing your work, is it? When we know someone is sick, let's not say Jan or Tammy or Abby or someone will send them a card. No. Let us put our own selves to work, send a card, or make a phone call. Here I am, Lord. Send me. And brother, these are very important aspects of the work we need to do as a congregation. But that's not the work I want to talk about this morning. The work I want to speak about this morning is that described by Jesus in John chapter 4 at verse 34. Jesus said to them, my food, they had asked Jesus if he had eaten that day. And he says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months, then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life. Both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. But what are we exactly to reap? I think everyone in this congregation realizes that we have the responsibility to take the gospel to others. To others we know, to others we don't know. To those in the community, to those we meet. That is the field that is white for harvest. Well, who then is to do this teaching? Who then is to take this gospel to others? I'm going to ask you a question, and don't raise your hand because I don't need to know, but just make a mental decision about what your attitude is going to be. What is your attitude towards teaching others? Do you think It is the job of a certain few, the preacher perhaps, or the elders? Or do you think you have a responsibility to convey the gospel to those who are lost? I believe the passages we cited before, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Ephesians, Colossians, very clearly put responsibility upon each and every one of us to be about the work of spreading the gospel. I don't see how anyone can believe there is no need for action on their part. It is the duty of every child of God to be involved in the task of presenting the gospel to the world. Yet many Christians never teach others. Do they not see the need to reach those who are dead in sin, who are lost? When Jesus spoke of the fields that are already white for harvest, he was speaking of those people in the world who need to be brought to the Father by the gospel. The people of the world that still need to be gathered into the kingdom of God. And that field, my friends, is still ready to be harvested. It's now larger than it has ever been. And therefore, every Christian needs to get busy harvesting. And please, please don't say, "Here I am, Lord. Send Heath or Howard or Mike or John." Not that they are not responsible for the work. They are. They are, but we all need to stand up and say, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." If we study the first century church and its marvelous growth as seen in the New Testament, we will see why its growth was so dramatic. And we do know that the apostles were given miraculous gifts and told to spread the gospel. But there's another significant reason for the outstanding numerical growth. Acts chapter 8, verse 4, scattered abroad by persecution, the disciples went everywhere preaching the word. Though they were separated from the apostles, they diligently sought out those good and honest hearts who would listen to the message of truth. And so great was their dedication, so effective was their teaching, the Apostle Paul was able to say in Colossians 1:23, the gospel had been preached to all creation. In the span of approximately 34 years, the Christians had saturated the world with the teaching of the gospel. And they accomplished this task because every one of them recognized his responsibility and worked at fulfilling it. And in the past, we've studied the message of the gospel in the book of Acts. And the second chapter of Acts indeed contains the basics of what we need to teach. And I recognize that we each have different talents. We each have different abilities. We can't all stand in front of an audience and proclaim God's word. We may not all have the ability to convince every person of their need to obey the gospel. But we all need to make the effort. If we don't, then we have to stand before God and give account of why we didn't even try. Turn your Bibles over to 1 Thessalonians. And let's have a look at their work. 1 Thessalonians 1, chapter 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. Paul praises the Thessalonians here, and here's why. Verse 5, for the gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. In verse 7, Paul says, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you, the word of the Lord has sounded forth not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. Do you understand what Paul is saying there? This congregation was spreading the gospel, seeking and saving the lost, not because Paul or the other apostles were doing the work for them, while the congregation just gathered together to worship. Paul says, we don't need to say anything. You are going about, you are doing the work of the Lord. And Paul, notice, he praised the whole congregation there. He didn't single out the preacher or the elders, because they were all doing the work. Each and every one of them was so enthralled with the gospel, they didn't need anyone to do their work for them. They were all happy to go out and to do it themselves. Drop down to chapter 2 and verse 13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. You see, they welcomed the word of God. They knew the word of God works effectively in those who believe. Brethren, when you believe in God, you don't have to fear. You don't have to fear anything. You don't have to be afraid to spread his word. You ought to ache to go out and do his work. You need to feel this need to teach the gospel. And we need to use our time wisely. Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We must be zealous to accomplish those good works for which we have been created in Christ. We're told Ephesians 2:10, Titus 2:14. If we are going to be a New Testament church, we need to be seeking and saving the lost. And as I said before, there is not equality of ability, but I'm gonna say that the ability of all the Thessalonians, all their talents, were probably not equal. Yet, that did not hinder them. Neither should it hinder us or anyone today. Even the least knowledgeable, the most timid Christian can teach someone. If you can only relate what you did to be saved, that's enough. That's enough to tell others. Besides that, we have all kinds of material available to help you. We have tracts. We have bulletins. We have videos that lead you step by step through the basics of biblical authority and to the conclusion that we need to obey the gospel. Every child of God should utilize and enlarge the abilities he possesses. You should be seeking to improve your knowledge of the Word of God and your ability to teach others. And if you need help teaching, I volunteer, Howard, Terry, Mike, John, Heath, to come and help you, and I will come if you need help too. If you can set up a study with someone and think you need help teaching them, let us know. Let one of us know. We'll be glad to come and help you, support you, be there with you. We've done it before. We need to develop that same zeal the Thessalonians had. And we need to get going. Jesus said in John 9, 4, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. And though he was speaking of his time on earth, the principle applies to us. While we are living is the time to work. Rest will come in the place of eternal rest. Revelation 14:13. We have whatever time God has appointed to us on this earth. When we die, or when the Lord brings this all to an end, we won't be able to work anymore. So I implore you, my friends, please take the time. Study your Bible. Learn how to teach others. Teach them to get to heaven. Develop this attitude that you will say at every opportunity, here I am, Lord. Send me. Before you can teach others, though, you need to know and understand what it takes to be saved. You need to become a child of God. And you know, when our Lord, when Jesus was on this earth, he gave many invitations. He invited us to learn of him. One of the invitations is recorded in John chapter 14. He says, verse 2, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will return. That you can be where I am, you can be also. If you are struggling with the decision to put on Christ, to be baptized into Christ, but maybe you think, I'm not going to be able to live a Christian life. It might just be too hard for me. I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 11. starting at verse 28, where Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." These are the words of a loving Savior. Savior who allowed himself to be crucified upon a cross for your sake, for my sake. Savior that placed such a value on your soul. He was willing to buy it with his own blood. Now, I don't believe it's hard to be a Christian in this world we live in. I think it would be much harder if we weren't Christians. So if you've never obeyed the gospel and been baptized into Christ, won't you take this opportunity? Consider those words of our Savior. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Won't you confess your belief in Jesus, repent of your sins, and be baptized? This very day, leave this building with the assurance that if you were to die, you would have a place reserved in heaven where you'll spend eternity in the presence of the eternal God who created all things. If you're a child of God, maybe you've sinned in a manner you need to make a confession. We'd like to hear your confession and pray for you and with you. If you just want the prayers of the saints, would you come forward as we stand and sing this song of invitation?